Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of faith. Thank God for the word of power. Thank God for the word of his righteousness. Thank God for the word of the gospel. Thank God for the word of our salvation. Thank God. Thank God for the word. Thank God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the impact of the word of God. Hallelujah. Bible says, but the word of God lives and abides forever. The word of God endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. Hallelujah. God's word is alive forevermore. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus. Hallelujah. So far, we've seen in the previous episodes how that Jesus was passionate about the gospel. Jesus was so passionate about the gospel, it was evident in his normal casual conversations. Jesus could meet you at the place where you're having dinner or lunch, and then he would seize opportunity to talk about the gospel. Once he stood at the feast of the Jews and he cried out, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me. Hallelujah. You know, I shared the story of the woman by the well from asking her to give him a cup of water and then to saying that there's a water I'll give you and you'll never thirst again. That's the kind of man Jesus was in the midst of men while he walked the face of the earth. Hallelujah. He's still the same Jesus today and forevermore. Hebrews 13:8, Bible says, Jesus is the same today and forevermore. Therefore, do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. It is good that he had been established by grace. Hebrews 13:8-9, Jesus is the same forevermore. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. So Jesus was so passionate about the gospel. And I bet you, Jesus is still so passionate about the gospel. That's the same thing is still stirring the hearts of men and women unto today. Jesus is stirring the hearts of men and women, young and old, rich or poor, you know, men of different backgrounds and status and circumstances. Jesus is stirring us onto the work of ministry. Jesus is stirring us to proclaim the same gospel. Hallelujah. So we also saw that there's only one gospel, just one. And we're able to address and to explain and clarify Galatians 2:7, where Paul says, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. So for many, they seem to misinterpret that portion of scripture to mean that Paul had a gospel for the uncircumcised while Peter had a gospel for the circumcised. But not true. This is difference in audience, not difference in message. It's not that they were taking different gospels to different people. No. There's another portion of scripture people always misconstrue, where Paul says, I became all things to all men that I may win some. To the Jew, I became as the Jew. To the Greek, you know, to those under the law, to those without the law, I became. So, you know, Paul said all that, but then if you look through the ministry of Paul, as we're going to do today, you discover that Paul had a consistent message to all men, both Jews, Greeks, received the same message. Paul only was able to engage the culture of every man as he presented the same truth of the gospel. When he got to Athens, there was a way he presented the gospel in Athens. When he got to Judea, when he got to Jerusalem, there was a way he communicated the gospel based on the culture and the environment of that place. But it was the same gospel Paul was preaching in every place. It was so consistent. Hallelujah. So the gospel is one. Just one gospel. And in fact, Paul says that any other gospel that is preached apart from what they have preached is another gospel. Have you seen? So if there's room for any other gospel, if there's room for your gospel, my gospel, anybody's gospel, the gospel of a man of God in the south, another man of God in the east, if there's room for such things, then such statement wouldn't have been made. You know, Paul wouldn't have been given that kind of warning if there's room for multiple messages. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6-9. Paul speaking. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul is telling you, if there's any other gospel that is brought to you that is not the same gospel, is not the same kind of gospel that we brought, then it can only be a perversion of the truth. Hallelujah. They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And I'll say something very important in verse 8. It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Imagine that. Even if we or an angel from heaven, Paul is in essence saying, if I come tomorrow and I say something different from what I've always said, if I come tomorrow and I preach something that is different from what I preached from the beginning, then you should reject me too. And then Paul is saying, even if an angel from heaven, imagine, Paul is talking about angelic appearances. He's talking about supernatural visions. You know, there are many folks who have built their own messages on supernatural experiences they had. Someone says, while I was fasting for 40 days, I saw a creature, a supernatural being appeared to me, an angel appeared to me and gave me these words and told me this is my message. Paul is saying, see, if an angel from heaven comes with a different thing apart from what we have preached, let such a man be accursed. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the scriptures supersede visions. Visions are subject to the word of God. We are to test and judge every vision in the light of God's word, not the other way around. In the African setting, I don't know much about the West, but in the African setting where I come from, a lot of people place visions above God's word. A lot of people place visions above the scripture. However, the scriptures are authoritative. The scriptures are binding in matters of doctrine. The scriptures are the final habitat, the final authority in matters of doctrine. Scriptures over visions. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So Paul says, if an angel comes from heaven and brings another gospel, he says, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. As we have said before, verse 9, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Now, look at this now. What condemns any other gospel that is taught, what condemns them as false, is what Paul and other apostles have preached. So when you read verse 8 again, you see that's exactly what he's saying. But even if we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, so we have said certain things to you. If we come and say things contrary to what we have said, then let us be accursed. So what were the things Paul preached to the Galatians? Before we see the gospel of Christ defended in this particular book, let us see the things Paul has said in his missionary journeys. What was the gospel Paul was preaching? What was the gospel Paul was preaching that makes him say that if we preach anything that deviates from this, then we should be accursed? What gospel was Paul preaching? Let's start from Acts 13, 1 to 3. Beginning at the place where he was sent out with Barnabas to start the work. Acts 13, 1. Bible says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now immediately they sent them away. What was the message that Paul and Barnabas took to men? Look at Acts 13, 14 to 39. I'm just going to read few verses. Bible says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them and saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen, the God of these people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. So he's going somewhere. He gets to verse 23. From this man's seed, according to the promise, speaking about David, God raised up for Israel a savior, Jesus. After John had first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. Have you seen the message he took to them? The word of this salvation. The gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel. The gospel. Now, he continued to talk about Jesus' death, how that people crucified him, if you read on, and how that God raised him from the dead. Glory be to God. That's the gospel. And then it gets to verse 38. It says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Have you seen? That's the gospel. He's preaching justification by faith. You could not be justified from all things by the law of Moses. But now, through this man, he's preached to you the forgiveness of sins. So he's announcing to men forgiveness of sins. The very essence and the core of Jesus' assignment, of Jesus' death and resurrection. Matthew 26, 28, Jesus speaking, he says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. My blood is shed for the remission of sins. At Luke 24, Jesus gave instruction to his disciples at Luke 24. And guess what he said? Hallelujah. Guess what he told them to go preach in the world? Luke 24, I'll read from verse 46. He says, then he said to them, thus it is written and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Imagine. So Jesus sent men to preach repentance and remission of sins. As a matter of fact, repentance and remission of sins are together. It is not repentance, by yourself. It's repentance that comes as you come in contact with the gospel of Christ. That is, you have a change of mind about the Messiah. You have a change of mind about Christ. You have a change of mind about sin. You have a change of mind about how God forgives sins. Glory be to God. For the Jew who was trusting in animal sacrifices offered by humans and men, he would change his perception and begin to see Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. For the Gentile that was trusting in idols, his heart will be turned to Jesus and see him as the only way. Glory be to God. And that's the repentance. This repentance does not come by you just sitting down in your room and trying to become a better person. This repentance comes as you behold the goodness of God. As you receive the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection, then you will truly repent in your mind. You'd have a change of mind, a change of mindset, a change of thinking, and then you'll be turned towards God by having faith. You'll be turned from unbelief to faith in Christ. Glory be to God. So Paul began to preach the message of salvation. That's the crux of his message. What Jesus did, forgiveness of sins, justification by faith, forgiveness of sins, justification by faith. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 13, 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. What exactly was this word of the Lord? We'll read to chapter 14, verse 3. The word of the Lord that was spreading. What exactly was it? So when the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude both of Jews and of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So, what was the word that was spreading at verse 49 of chapter 13? The word of his grace. Hallelujah. The same truth of Jesus' forgiveness. The same truth of an offer of justification from all things from which men could not be justified by the law of Moses. The same truth. Glory to Jesus. Even when Paul was compelled by the Holy Ghost to say something to men, it was still the same truth. You see, let me break this to you. Many times when people say, the Holy Ghost told me to say this thing, and then you find out that what they are saying is not in harmony with the scriptures, it is because they were speaking based on the content of their minds. Let me say this again. Anything you would say, an attribute to the Spirit of God, anything you say, even if the Holy Ghost moves you to say something, you will say it based on the content of your mind, the content of your heart. You will say it based on your knowledge. You can't function beyond what you know. Hallelujah. That's why where understanding God's word is concerned, the prescription in the Bible is not about relying on voices, spirits speaking to you. Bible prescription is that a man should study, a man should be well versed in the truth, in the scriptures. A man should be taught. Hallelujah. A man must be taught the scriptures. A man must read. He must open his heart to learn the truth of God's word as communicated clearly in the letters of the apostles. Hallelujah. So even when Paul was compelled by the Holy Ghost, Acts 18 verse 5, to say something, the Bible says he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Ghost will not go against the scriptures. So it takes a man who has learnt the scriptures to properly represent the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Even when the Holy Ghost is moving you to say things, if your mind is not renewed, you say the wrong things. Glory to Jesus. Now, the message of Paul to people so far we have seen is the same. Christ is death, is resurrection, the benefit that accrued to men because they believe in the same. Now, at Acts 15:1-12, we see that a party rose against the message. There was opposition against the message of Paul. There was opposition against the message of the gospel. And look at how they dealt with this. Acts 15:1-12. Certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you're circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Imagine. So it's not new that people would think that you must add something to the work of Jesus for you to be saved. It's not new. Realize that these guys are not saying that Jesus didn't die for sins. They're only saying, apart from Jesus' death and resurrection and your faith in him, there's a need to also do something. So it's faith plus the law. And Paul is saying, no, this is not it. Look at verse 2. Paul didn't say, wow, that's a revelation. Everybody has his own. Well, maybe that's the insight God is giving you. That's the word for the now. He didn't say that. At verse 2, Bible says, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, that is, they disputed what they said. They disputed them. They fought against it. They resisted it. Bible says, after this, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way to the church, by the church rather, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees, take note, the Pharisees, who believed, rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command that they keep the law of Moses. Woo! Imagine, you want to sneak in the law of Moses. You want to sneak in works after you claim to have believed. And then at verse 6, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Mark this, verse 10. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Have you seen that Peter acknowledged the very gospel that Paul was proclaiming? That it is by grace alone, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. Imagine Paul says, Peter says, why are you testing God? Why? By putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which no one was able to bear, which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. Why? Then he says, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Glory be to Jesus. So you see that they concluded the matter by revisiting the fact of the gospel. That it is not of works, it is about what Jesus did and our faith in the same. Glory be to Jesus. So if any man preaches any gospel other than what we have preached to you, let a man be accursed. So we see a practical example of such in Acts 15. Paul did not allow it. Paul did not receive it. Paul did not pay attention to it. He did not consider it. They rejected it. They avoided it. They refuted it. Why? Because it is contrary to what they have been preaching. It is contrary to what Jesus sent them to preach. Salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles 16:29-34. Acts 16:29-34. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I like this one particularly. Then he called for Elijah. This was the jailer. You know, we know of the story of the jailer that was in charge of Paul and Silas when there was a prison break, supernaturally. Hallelujah. So this man came. Bible says he ran in, he called for light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas at verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set foot before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So what happened to this man? The message of Paul resulted in faith in Christ for him and all his household. Listen, because the only response the gospel demands is that a man should believe. So they asked, he asked this question, "What should I do to be saved?" And they didn't give him a list of many things. Sometimes you see the list that some people will give you for you to be saved. You think you're about to get married. Is this a traditional wedding list or what? There's just only one thing required. What must I do to be saved? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So, listen. This is the gospel Paul had been preaching before he wrote the letter to the Galatians. And we see a consistency. What Jesus did, by which men are saved if they believe. Hallelujah. Let's see 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24 again. Paul is defining what he had been preaching, what he kept preaching. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. Glory be to God. Bible says, "For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So the Jews were seeking sign, the sign seeking generation, we preach Christ crucified. To them, it was a stumbling block. The Greeks were seeking wisdom, practical wisdom. Then we preach Christ crucified, to them foolishness. So what was Paul preaching all along? Christ and him crucified. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And it tells us why. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything amongst you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Can you see? "And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see, if we present to men anything apart from what the gospel is, their faith is going to rest in the wisdom of men other than in the power of God. Hallelujah. This is what is at stake. So we must present the gospel, because the gospel alone is the power of God. Hallelujah. Let me close with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaking, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." That is, Paul is saying, if you believed something different, a different thing apart from what I communicated to you, then you believed in vain. I restate that which I told you. Paul is not reinventing any new message here. I'm making a restatement. Verse 3, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So we see how Paul's gospel is focused on Jesus' death and resurrection, the work of redemption. And any other gospel apart from this is what Paul calls another gospel, a false gospel, a perversion. Glory be to God. Do good to tune in tomorrow as we continue to explore this truth about the gospel of Christ. It's every day with Jesus. Have a blessed day full of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Hallelujah.